ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 5 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द मीटिंग ऑफ नंद महाराज एंड वसुदेव टेक्स्ट नंबर 12 ता आशीष प्रयुञ्जानाः चिरं पाहीति बालके हरिद्राचूर्णतैलाद्भिः सिञ्चन्त्यो जनमुज्जगुः ता ट्रांसलेशन Offering blessings to the newborn child Krishna, the wives and daughters of the cowherd men said, May you become the king of Vraja and long maintain all of its inhabitants. They sprinkled a mixture of turmeric powder, oil and water upon the birthless Supreme Lord and offered their prayers. There's no purport, so we go to the next verse. अवाद्यंत विचित्राणि वादित्राणि महत्सवे कृष्णे विश्वेश्वरे नन्ते नन्दस्य व्रजमागते Translation Now that the all-pervading, unlimited Lord Krishna, the master of the cosmic manifestation, had arrived within the estate of Maharaj Nanda, various types of musical instruments resounded to celebrate the great festival. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam shajamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, At that time, I descend myself. Whenever Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma, he comes to the house of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. Krishna is the master of all creation, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Therefore, not only in the neighborhood of Nanda Maharaj's estate, but all over the universe and in all the other universes, musical instruments Musical sounds celebrated the auspicious arrival of the Lord. Hare Krishna. So in these two verses of the fifth chapter of the tenth canto, today we are seeing how Shukdev Maharaj is describing the joy exhibited by the residents of Braj. And not just Vrindavan, But the entire universe is reverberating with the same joyousness. So text 12, offering blessings to the newborn child Krishna, the wives and daughters of the cowherd men said, May you become the king of Vraja and long maintain its inhabitants, all its inhabitants. Ta ashisha prayunjanaha. So yunjate, this word obviously means to offer something, to connect, to give. So ashisha here is referring to the blessings being offered by the taha. Taha here refers to the previous two verses where it has been described that the ladies of Vrindavan especially, their beauty has been described and they have come to Nanda Maharaja's palace, his estate. So they are offering blessings and in this, there's no purport to this by Prabhupada. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes a comment in his Shararth Darshini Tika that they are coming and offering their blessings to the Lord, and the blessings that they are offering is chiram Pahi. Pahi means to maintain or to protect one. And Chiram means a long time. So Chakravarti Thakur is saying, and that is how the translation has been given, based on the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Maharaj, that they are giving the blessing that may you protect all of us. So the question may be asked, Chakravarti Thakur is putting forth this question, that here is just this young boy Krishna. I mean, he's just a young baby. And these are all elderly ladies who have come. So wouldn't it be natural for elderly ladies to actually offer their protection to the child and, you know, give blessings in that way? So it says, because he is ajanam, the word ajanam is being used here by Shukadev Maharaj. He is the unborn or the birthless Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if someone who's unborn has a capacity to appear, to take birth, then definitely even as a young child, he has a capacity to give protection. Right? So that is one understanding. The other understanding is, they are saying that may you protect us, Chiram, for a long time. Or in other words, in time to come, when you grow up, may you inherit the kingdom of your father, and thus becoming our king, you may protect us. So Pahi. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says there's another reading to it. They are saying Chiram. Chiram means for a long time. So in this way, their paternal affection is coming forth. And since they are in the mood of loving Krishna as a child, that is their relationship, their affection is there as maintainers of this young child Krishna, of baby Krishna. By Krishna's own desire, that relationship is there. So they are blessing the child, Chiram Jeeva, may you live a long time. So both these emotions are there in this verse. And then, because it is a joyful atmosphere, obviously they manifest their joyousness. However, they have come and they're offering the child. So obviously they're not on the internet, right? They're neither on Facebook nor there's web camera there where everyone is chatting and putting on their comments. We bless the child. This is directly in the presence. And this is almost 5,000 years back. So there is to be the maternity room, the prasuti griha, or the... sometimes it is called the Garbhashala, like that. So that specific room is there which they have entered into. And they are seeing the child and they are offering their blessings. Now, since this is a newborn child, obviously everyone is concerned about the effect, the vibrations, or any sudden movement or jerks that may cause or that may be the cause of any harm to the child. So everyone is very quiet. Everyone is very careful within the maternity home. So, Haridra Churna Tailad Bhihi, you know, taking a mixture of turmeric and taila, means oil, and etc., other things like that. And water also has been mentioned. Where did they do that? And therefore, Chakravarti Thakur makes a comment, they went outside. They were sensitive to the needs of the young child. Not that, oh, this is Krishna, this is God. So there are so many rules also that we have for deity worship and things like that. When you enter the temple, don't do this, don't do that, because this is a personality. Similarly, when the Supreme Personality appears as a child, he's a child. So they take note of that. They're sensitive to it. They go outside the maternity room. And there, they express their joyousness. And obviously, at that time, they did not have paper and plastic graffiti. So they used turmeric oil and other such natural ingredients to express their joyousness. Then verse 13 explains the quality of that Ajanam Lord has been explained in greater detail. Krishna Vishveshware Anante Nandasya Vrajam. Vraja means the pasturing grounds. Typically we know Vraja as Vrindavan. So here Nandasya Vraja means the Vrindavan of Nanda Mahababa. Basically it means Gokul Mahavan at that point of time, which was the pasturing grounds of the cowherdsmen headed by Nanda Baba at that time. Therefore, in the purport and also in the translation, the word is used, state of Maharaj Nanda. Vraja is translated as state of Maharaj Nanda. So, Nandasya Vrajam Vishveshware Anante. And what happened for this Vishveshware Anante? Vichitrani Vaditrani. Vaditra means sound. Some sound was made. Some musical instruments were making sounds. Vichitrani. In very, very attractive and a variety of ways. It was not the same music that sometimes, you know, we have festivals all over Bombay, all over India. You know, in the monsoons and otherwise too. 9 days, 10 days, 15 days. And the same sounds are heard. You know, two or three varieties. And after some time it really is... the ears really need some rest. But here, they were very expert. Although they were cowherdsmen, they were very expert. They were inspired to be expert musicians. Vichitrani. A variety of musical notes were being produced, which were very, very attractive to the heart and to the ears. And thus there was a Mahotsav. Therefore there was a festival. Not that there is a festival and we are looking for the Mridanga players and Kartal players. Where are they? So, the festival mood was there and everyone was contributing like that. Vishveshware, for whom? The all-pervading, unlimited Krishna, the master of the cosmic manifestation. Vishveshware, the master of the cosmic manifestation. And that is where Srila Prabhupada is also taking his commentary from. He says, it was not just the state of Maharaj Nanda, but the entire Vishwa, because the Vishwa Ishwara had appeared. It is all the three worlds, the Bhu Bhuva Swa, or literally translated in English, it means the higher planetary systems, the middle planetary systems, and the lower planetary systems. All over the universe, musical instruments were being sounded. Everyone was very joyful, very happy. And they expressed it. And Anante, Anante means the unlimited Lord. But Chakravarti Thakur says, Anante Vaditrani. Which also means because the unlimited Lord had appeared, therefore unlimited musical instruments were being played. So just imagine the scene in Braj where there are unlimited musical instruments and the ladies are all happy at the same time sensitive. They are throwing around their natural graffiti that is there. And they have offered their blessings to Krishna. And the previous two verses have described their beauty. They have described their attractive qualities. Such a festival in Vrindavan. This is Nandotsav. The festival of Braj, right after Janamashtami. Srila Prabhupada begins with the verse, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya, explaining how Krishna appears. Yes, and he says, Tadatmanam Srijami Ham. And in one lecture, Prabhupada is mentioning, Srijami Ham means Krishna appears by his own desire. Does not mean that because these reasons are there, therefore he appears. Although he gives these reasons, you know, whenever there's a decline in religion and a predominant rise in irreligion. But Srijami Ham means I appear of my own desire. So when Krishna, as explained here, Krishna, Prabhupada makes a wonderful point. When he appears, whenever Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma, he comes to the house of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. That is appearing of his own desire. That is his And that facility is not available to any other living entity. They cannot appear of their own desire. Only one living entity has that facility. Eko bahunam yah vidhati kaman. Only one living entity has that facility. What to speak of having that living entity is by the very nature of that living entity is such. And that is why that living entity is called the supreme living entity. The Param Atma, the greatest living entity. No one is greater than him. No one is equal to him. So, in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, wherein the universal form has already been displayed to Arjuna by Krishna. And Arjuna is awestruck by seeing this beautiful and expansive form of the Supreme Lord. Everything, you know, in one place, at one time, he can visualize. And he has been given the vision to visualize that. And that is when Arjuna folds his hands and offers his prayers in 10 to 11 verses to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the first prayer is very interesting and has a connection to verse number 13. That is point number one that we are going to make today. Arjuna uvacha sthane rishikesha tava prakirtya jagat prahrishyat anurajyate cha rakshamsi bhitani disho dravanti sarve namasyanti cha siddha sanghah. Rishikesha tava prakirtya. So, O master of the senses, your great qualities or your glories, your unequivocal glories, jagat prahrishyat, it is very pleasing, or it pleases the entire world. The entire world becomes very happy whenever your names are being chanted. Prakirtya, whenever you are being glorified or your holy names are chanted, the whole world becomes joyful. And anurajyate cha, and thus people become attached to you. Rakshamsi bhitani disho dravanti. And sarve namasyante cha siddha sangha. Siddha sangha, will take that line first. Most perfected beings in the universe, sarve namasyantis, all of them are offering their homage unto you, their respects unto you, they offer you their greatest respects. But rakshamsi bhitani, the rakshasas that are there, or the demoniac natured people who are there, they become fearful of you. They do not offer obeisances, they do not chant your glories, they become fearful, and thus disho dravanti, in fear they flee in this or that direction. And the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a wonderful point. He says, when Arjuna saw the universal form of the Lord, the demigods took pleasure in it, but others who were demons and atheists could not stand it when the Lord was praised. And before that, he says, Arjuna understood herein that when the battle of Kurukshetra was concluded, in outer space there were present many demigods, siddhas, and the intelligentsia of the higher planets, and they were observing the fight because Krishna was there. When Arjuna saw the universal form of the Lord, the demigods took pleasure in it. So this is Anante Vishveshware Vaditrani. That when Krishna appeared, it was not just the residents of Vrindavan who had come to glorify Krishna. Because there was an opportunity, they were glorifying Krishna, Krishna's holy names were being chanted. Naturally, the demigods also appeared, and along with them, the musical instruments. And therefore, the whole universe was enchanting. It was enchanted, and they were glorifying Krishna. Yes, that is why Prabhupada makes a statement, all over the universe and in all the other universes too, musical sounds celebrated the auspicious arrival of the Lord. So demigods, they naturally offer respects. Now, why do they naturally offer respects when the Supreme Lord appears or whenever the Supreme Lord is being glorified? Because they are enlivened by hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is a quality of demigods. That is a quality of those who are favorably inclined towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because they are enlivened, because their heart feels such excitement, such pleasure, they automatically glorify the Lord. Yes? Prahrishyati. Therefore, they become very, very pleased. They become very, very engladdened. Especially when there's an opportunity to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the other hand, the Rakshamsi, the Rakshasas, or those who are of demoniac nature, which basically means the Asuras, are not favorably inclined to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or unfavorably inclined to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotees, and the process related to him, anything in conjunction with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they flee, or they run away, they are disdainful, wherever there is the chanting of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So two sub-points are in relation to this particular point. One, for those who are practicing devotional service, one must always be very confident and have faith in what? That when we glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead out of our own heart's desire and inclination, then those who are of the nature of demigods will automatically be attracted. They'll come to that assembly of glorification. And those who are not favorably inclined will flee, run away in fear. Therefore, one must be confident of the practice of Krishna consciousness. One must not fear of what may happen or not happen. One must have this faith. And thus, chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. There was once a book distributor, and this was quite long back. I read this story when I was in the 90s. So it was long back. She was a young girl book distributor in Krishna consciousness on the streets, and there was this really ruffian-looking person who approached her and wanted to scare her. So she said that, if you don't go away, then I'll call my boss. And my boss is really very... you won't be able to stand him. So this person, he said, forget it. He said, okay, go ahead, call your boss. So at the top of her voice, she shouted, Narsingadev! And all of a sudden, this big, hefty-looking man, you know, with fear stricken on his face, just turned around and ran away. Now, this is not something that we have to imitate. But instances like this give us confidence that when one is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone who is unfavorably inclined runs away. They cannot stand there. They flee in fear. And similarly, whenever the glories of the Supreme Lord or the chanting of the holy names takes place, those who are favorably inclined come near. The second sub-point in relation to this main point is, as practicing devotees, when with faith we go on chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the glories of His names, doing His service, it is but natural that that process purifies one. And because of that process of purification, because of that cleansing of the mirror of one's consciousness, the natural affection within the heart is awakened and one becomes enlivened in Krishna consciousness. And when with such enlivened consciousness, one continues on chanting the process, those who are attracted to this, those who are favorably inclined and attracted to such association, to such an environment, the effect is that they also become part of this process of cleansing. They become more pious, they become more enlivened, they become more Krishna conscious. So not only does it affect us in a very favorable way, but those who are attracted to the assembly of devotees glorifying Krishna, they are also affected in a very, very favorable manner. Hence, in so many ways, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll find this process of chanting and glorifying Krishna's name or Krishna's qualities being mentioned. Like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, fifth chapter, the 10th verse. This is a very famous verse. All of us have heard it quite often. In fact, every BBT book or production of the Srimad Bhagavatam copy, any volume, will have these verses in its introduction. Nayat vachas chitrapadam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragrinit karhichit tadvayasam tirtham ushanti manasa nayatra hangsa niramantu shikshaya. Nayat vachas chit, paraphrasing the translation, those words which do not directly or even indirectly, which have absolutely no connection to the glorification of the supreme name, qualities, form of the personality of Godhead, they become the pilgrimage places for the assembly of people who are basically having the mentality of crows. And those who are like the hangsas, nayatra hangsa, or those who are wise, broad-minded, those who know what is right, those who can make the proper choices in life, those who are intelligent, those who have a progressive goal in life, the hangsas, they are never attracted to such a place. They are never attracted to such a place. In one of his lectures, I'm going to quote two sannyasis from a movement, their comments on related to this point. One is His Holiness Prahladanand Swami Maharaj. In one of his lectures, he says, what is it about crows? I mean, why is it said that people, you know, sometimes, he was making it in a very humorous way, he was making the comment that we need not necessarily, you know, sometimes we get over enthusiastic and we see someone unfavorably say, you are a demon. So he was just making a humorous comment. He was, in a humorous way, encouraging us not to be so presumptive in our expression. He says, maybe you could call them Mr. Vyasa rather than demon. You're a bird, not of the favorable kind. So he says, what is it about crows? He says, crows are naturally attracted to garbage. And what is garbage? Garbage is that which is not just useless, but it is distasteful. Garbage is not where you put useless things. He says he uses the word distasteful and rejected. And then somehow or the other, you know, whenever this point comes, there is a link between crows and hogs. You know, somehow the other point comes from crows, garbage, and hog and stool. So it's just like hogs. Very graphically explains, what are hogs attracted to? Stool. What is stool? The rejected part of the body of a human or any living entity, embodied living entity. Stool is the rejected part of that body. It would be very strange if someone would preserve their own stool and you say that. Very strange. The only people who sometimes do it for a couple of hours are the pathologists. If they have to study someone's, there's a stool examination they have to do. So there is, they find out some pathology there. But for the hog, the very idea of stool, the very thought of stool, the very mention of stool, or the sight of stool, increases its heart rate, its palpitations. There is enlivenment. There is an intense desire. And then there is action. They become enlivened by such discussion. They become enlivened by such mentioning. And then very graphically, even now, even I had this experience long back. In Indian villages, when people would believe in private worship homes, private worship rooms,
and public toilets rather than private toilets and public worship places. In those times when people had private puja homes, the worship places, every house had one, and public toilets. So you had to go out in the open, especially in the fields. And every village had their own society, you know, their own gang of hogs. One had to be very careful when one was in the act, because suddenly one would find that one has been pushed over. Why? Because somebody else is interested in what we are rejecting. And they are so impatient that they are not even ready for us to finish. So then the villagers keep a stick with them for that. So that at least, you know, this is called multitasking. They have sticks with them. So for that, the hogs, this is very interesting. Why? Why is that? Why is a crow attracted to this? Why are the hogs attracted like that? Because they are addicted to the pleasure of the senses, for the sense gratification. Right? In one of his lectures, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was, in connection to this point, was making. Similarly, when we spew out from our mouth our words, phrases, or emotions, when they come out through our mouth, which are simply, useless, which are distasteful, to be rejected in a cultured society. Such insults or such phrases or words, they are simply like passing such refuse. And he was also very clear. He said, if someone wants to do that, then they had better go to Chowpatty Beach. That is where one does such an activity. So whether it is sense gratification for the gross senses, or sense gratification for one's own prestige, fame, specifically with an intent to hurt someone, malicious, that's the word, malicious, then tad vayasam tirtham, that is called as vayasa tirtha, the pilgrimage place for crows or hogs. And therefore the point is being made is that such things being very distasteful are very attractive for such class of people. They are very much attracted to such an association where they'll get such sense gratification. Specifically, I would like to speak of the point where they'll get such association where they can be malicious. Whether it is the physical association or sangha of people, or whether it is the e-world, the electronic world, are very much attracted to such forums, very much attracted to such gatherings. Why? Tad vayasam tirtham. So grossly, subtly, that is the point, but grossly, those who do not have the hangsa mentality, who have, they will never be attracted to a temple. They'll easily go to places like Disney World or something. Like one, I was traveling somewhere and someone was sitting, they asked me, where was I going? And I mentioned I was going to this particular place, some state in America. And they said, oh, so you should visit Disney World and see Goofy. I said, why? Because pilgrimage place for people. They go there, they worship the person, they hear from them, they bring back their photographs, laminate it, put it on the wall, and they say, this is my Goofy, my personal copy. It's almost like deity worship. Tirtha yatra they do and come back with their own deities. Or there are others who visit forums and they laminate their own particular rules and regulations which are simply disdainful and malicious, with a malicious intent. And they worship it. But that is not the only quality, because sometimes certain things may have to be pointed out in a way that is progressive. It is not that one closes one eyes, kuch dekhna nahi, kuch sunna nahi, kuch bolna nahi. Not like that. Not that we don't hear, see or speak. Nothing. But when such an intent is there, along with no inkling of an attraction to hearing the glories of Krishna at all, then that is a vayas tirtha. There's no inkling of trying to understand the deeper meaning of the chanting of the holy names and its qualities, especially in discussion with in a sangha of very mature people. There's no inkling for that. As soon as that starts, one is tuned off. One is immediately, one immediately goes to Radio Mirchi rather than stay there. Then it becomes a Vyasa Tirtha or a pilgrimage place for crows. And what is the problem with this particular mentality? And the problem is that one becomes addicted to it. And once one is addicted, try as one might, unless and until one really seeks help, outside help. Someone has to pick one up from that place and put one into a reformatory. Till that has been achieved, the addiction simply goes deeper and deeper and deeper. No amount of philosophical or mental conviction generally works, generally doesn't work. Because there is an addiction. The crow, that is the nature of garbage. You know, it has this addictive quality. So there is no prakritya, there is no attraction to the glories of the holy names or to the glories chanting the glories of the Lord. Hence, sometimes the Srimad Bhagavatam explains verses like Shovid Host, Vara Hostra, Kharai, Samstuta Purusha, Pashu. Yes, they are described as. Therefore, the Bhagavatam uses phrases like that, like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. For whom? Not for persons. It is for the mentality that is carried by the embodied living entity. And fortunately for all of us, in terms of mentality, we always have a choice. We have a choice to be of that mentality or to be of another mentality. Fortunately for all of us. So, the point of addiction was made. The second point related to this that is being made is Sangstuta Purusha Pashuhu. Na yatra karna pathopeta, the same point, but that will come to later on. Their entire whole life now becomes trying to find out and praise people of similar crow-like mentality. Therefore, there will be intent research going on. Intent research, hours after hours after hours being put in trying to find out forums like this. And I think in the devotee community, sometimes we can call it comes under the heading of justifications. Sometimes when we are in the mood of trying to justify how we are correct or not, whatever it is, then one tries, gets into this mentality of Sangstuta Purusha Pashuhu, trying to find out people who are better than us in the similar mentality. And then we can praise and glorify them and give them the Nobel Prize or the Pulitzer Prize or so on and so forth. It's very interesting. You know, next year, again, the Olympics is coming up, right? The World Olympics, again, every 4 years. So much money will be spent. So much energy on media. And what will it be? The choicest of people who can use the choicest of phrases to glorify those who simply imitate that which has naturally been gifted to certain species by God. Like in the same lecture, Prahladan Maharaj was making the point that people will glorify someone someone will be glorified in the next Olympics. Pages after pages, records will be shown before and after. Someone who has won the swimming competition, 100 meters freestyle, or 50 meters, I don't know, maybe 50 meter freestyle. Okay. Now, wouldn't a fish be able to do that? Now let's suppose a fish were able to enter the competition. Who do you think stands a chance of winning the medal? Now, from the point of view of Krishna consciousness, if somehow or the other we could spread the Krishna consciousness message to one and all such that they accept it in a favorable way and their vision is expanded, wouldn't they consider even the animals and fishes to be citizens of their country? Or would it only have to be humans as citizens who can participate for the country? So the point is not just to denigrate someone who imitate. The point is We have to go deeper than just the body. There are others who have been gifted, but they are being maltreated, they are being mistreated. Why? Pashu. Because your mentality is of not discriminative in nature. Right? So there is so much of mercilessness in the society today, in the human society, and otherwise too. Rakshamsi, that is the word, rakshashas, flesh eaters. So, sangstutaha, but such people will be glorified, and those who cannot properly discriminate will follow such people, or will follow up their life, their history, their statistics also. Not that this is, this is to be, not that we are against it. What we are trying to present is, if this is there, but there is no favorable inclination to hearing the glorious qualities of Krishna, then it becomes the mentality of four-legged or two-legged animals. Then it becomes an unfavorable mentality. So a word of caution here is that we have to be very careful, because as practitioners, we are somewhere in the middle. Sometimes, or very occasionally, or very often, we are attracted to hearing the glories of Krishna, and occasionally, sometimes we are not. And what is the word of caution? That we have to be very careful. We must always be alert. That is chetana. That is consciousness. Pranachajar se hetu prachar. You know, wherever there is consciousness, there is constant preaching, or there is constant Krishna conscious activity going on. So we have to be conscious of how and where our life will be going the next moment. Whether we take the mentality of the Pashu, or because we have tasted the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, do we make that choice? We have to try to be on the side of Krishna consciousness and not on the other side. And this is intelligence. For those who are of demonic nature, avrita jnanam etena, their knowledge is stolen. Kamena dushpura analena cha, because of the addiction to sense gratification, that knowledge or the intelligence is stolen. Why? Because of the addiction. It is stolen. They may know, they may read. And when the modes are predominantly of passion or ignorance, we cannot make the choice, the proper choice. And then that consciousness, that samskara, that impression further adds on to our chetana, to our heart. It becomes a bigger struggle the next moment then. You know, another chain binding us becomes difficult to swim across the material ocean. Right. The next verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so since we've described this now, about Tad Vayasam Tirtham, the next verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11 describes about those who are attracted to the glorious chanting of Krishna's holy names. Tadvag visargo janata gaviplavo yasmin prati shlokam abaddhavati namani anantas anantasya namani ananta. See, ananta, there is ananta pleasure there, unlimited pleasure, there's unlimited variety, there's unlimitedness in the holy names. There is unlimitedness. And to go deep into that unlimited nature is the activity of the practitioner. Not just this or that. That we accept. And then we go deep into our own introspection to get some of our own jewels. Why? Namani anantasya. They are unlimited. So, shrinvanti, gayanti, grhananti, sadhava. The word sadhava is used, or sadhu. And generally a sadhu, in that particular translation, for sadhava, the term is used, honest men. Honest men will glorify, sing. Honest men. So, I was listening to this lecture of Prahladananda Maharaj, where he explains honesty. He says, honesty begins with understanding that I am not this body. As long as one thinks one is this body, basically one is dishonest. One is misidentifying oneself with something else. In one lecture, His Holiness Bhakti Bhring Govinda Maharaj was mentioning how for the first time in Detroit, he himself included, they were all going to receive Srila Prabhupada at the airport. He says they were already practitioners of Krishna consciousness, but this was the first time they were going to see their spiritual master face to face. So there are hundreds of devotees had come to the airport. Srila Prabhupada came in, and very wonderfully, as soon as Srila Prabhupada manifested his physical form to their eyes, everyone was stunned. It was as if they were struck by some brilliance, you know, some brilliant potency. Offered obeisances, they were crying and jays and so on and so forth. And then they brought a huge, huge Vyasasan right in the airport for Prabhupada to sit on. And Prabhupada sat. And Bhakti Bhring Govinda Maharaj was mentioning, this was the first time I'm seeing my spiritual master. This was the first time I was, you know, we were welcoming him. And it was also, and now we are going to hear him. I'd read some of his books and his messages. And it was also, it has completely impressed my heart. And I was going to hear him directly speaking. And this was such a moment. And I was sitting there. And Srila Prabhupada began speaking. And he spoke. And to my chagrin, he said, I couldn't understand a word that he was saying. Because his accent was so very thick. I couldn't understand a word that he was saying. And I was wondering, this is the first time I'm hearing my spiritual master. And I'm so very covered that I cannot understand even a word that he's speaking. But he said, towards the end, Prabhupada very, very slowly, distinctly and clearly said something which I remember and many devotees remember. And he said, Srila Prabhupada says, please believe me when I tell you that you are not this body. Try to understand that. He said, and Prabhupada repeated it 3 times. So this is honesty that I am. And therefore 9.30 Bhagavad Gita, apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhu reva samantave samyak vyavasthito. Because he is identifying himself as Krishna's devotee, as Krishna's servant and not as the body, therefore there may be some improper behavior happening, but still that person is considered to be a sadhu because he is honest. Sadhavaha. So honesty means, having faith that we are not this body. As Prahlad Maharaj in Bhagavatam says, tuchhai, atmanas tuchhai, saha dehena nashwaraihi, kimete ratmanas tuchhai. He says, what is the use? Before that he explains, the body embraces one and then discards one. And then there are the wives or the husbands and there's the riches and the kingdom and this and that. 8-9 paraphernalia mentions, and then he says, kim eter atmanas, what is the utility of this, all these things, because they're temporary. In actuality, one does not have anything to do with them, but because of ignorance, one considers them to be the most valuable. And thus, one lives in an existence where one considers the invaluable things to be very significant, those which are tuchhai, or insignificant to be significant. So not understanding the real nature of the soul or our own constitutional nature. We are not the body, we are the soul. But paying so much of heed that we are this body, this is my sangya, this is what I'm known as, this is my status, this is my position, this is my respect, this is my honor. This is all dishonesty. This is all dishonesty. And so, shrinvanti, gayanti, grihananti, such persons will not be able to take. On the other hand, those who have this honesty, the beginning of Krishna consciousness is this honesty. The beginning stage, then further on we develop, muscles of Krishna consciousness based on this honesty, become stronger in Krishna consciousness. So we are not this body, we are the soul. And what is a soul? Servant of Krishna. Servant of Krishna. So that is how it begins. So sadhava, this is the business of sadhu. Yes. Tesham satat yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam apayantit. This is Krishna. The other was satatam kirtayanto mam ಯತಂತಶ್ಚ ದೃಢವ್ರತ ನಮಶ್ಯಂತಶ್ಚ ಮಾಂ ನಿತ್ಯ ನಿತ್ಯಯುಕ್ತ ಉಪಾಸತೆ ಔರ್ ಮಚ್ಚಿತ್ತ ಮದ್ಗತ ಪ್ರಾಣ. ಬೇಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಆನೆಸ್ಟಿ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ದೇ ಸೀಕ್ ಪ್ಲೆಷರ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ನೇಮ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಆನೆಸ್ಟ್. So what does it mean, chanting? So once, in short, once Tamal Krishna Maharaj was given the service of developing the temple of Vrindavan with Prabhupada, and he was so much caught up in the cement and haggling with people and land and this and that. And he was thinking, I'm in Vrindavan, this is where the Goswamis are roaming, you know. Hey Radhe, hey Braja Devika, and what am I thinking? I'm thinking, hey cement, hey steel wires, hey this, hey that. So he came up to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, what is my consciousness like? And Prabhupada, basically, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly his words, he said, this is Krishna consciousness. Trying to build a temple for Krishna is Krishna consciousness. Cleaning the temple of Krishna is chanting the glories of Krishna. Cutting the vegetables, cooking for Krishna, doing deity worship, doing book distribution on the streets. Being nice to each other in devotee association. Seeing each other as one's master. And basically more than that, and us as their servant. All of this expands the glories of Krishna, and therefore it is considered to be prakirtya, or expanding the glories of Krishna. The final point to be made is, therefore from this point we must understand, just as because the Brajbasis, the ladies, the Brajvadhus, they were all glorifying Krishna and chanting his names, it expanded all over the universe. Similarly, any act, as we said, when we engage in the activities of Krishna consciousness, we must realize that it is a helping step. That activity will help bring about a revolution in the lives of a misdirected civilization. Any such activity will bring about a revolution in the lives of a misdirected civilization. So those who are sadhus, they chant. Those asadhus find difficulty in chanting, or they are distasteful. They simply go away, run away. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes a step further. And he says, my dear Lord, your holy names have such potency. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpita. And it is, time is so very important, because as time moves, things become auspicious or inauspicious. But your holy name is beyond that. Na niyamena kala. But I am not able to chant your holy names, my dear Lord. Durdaivam idrisham. And that is my durdaiva. That is my misfortune. I am not able to find. Why? Na janani rag. I do not have the anurag. I do not have the anurag. Prahrishyati anurajyate cha. He says, I do not have the attachment to chanting of your holy names. And why is that? Basically, it is because we are not attached to the concept that Krishna is the master, he is the Lord, but we are attached to the illusion that we want to become the enjoyer. And if this paradigm is shifted, if we can accept the fact and give up the illusion, it happens the other way around. We think Krishna is maybe an illusory concept right now. An imaginable concept right now. His holy names are imaginable right now. But I, who am chanting the holy names, I am doing it very nicely. Therefore, I am the enjoyer right now. In that mood, then the fact is obscured and the illusion comes forth. And therefore, one must accept the fact and give up the illusion. And how does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pray for such transformation to take place? Trinadapi shuni chena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manitena kirtaniya sadahari. Unless and until one really thinks that one is lower than the straw in the street, in the assembly of devotees also, who are like huge trees, we are lower than the straw in the street in front of them, more tolerant than a tree. They may be very powerful, this devotee association, very powerful, such powerful vibrations. But a tolerant tree can, you know, it can tolerate, it stands in all types of stormy conditions. Amanina manadena. And somehow or the other, get the quality of, you know, glorifying others without expecting that I will be getting the same in return. Yesterday, Braj Bihari Prabhu was mentioning to us a very important point. They attended a seminar by Ekveera Prabhu and Braj Lila Mataji. And they said that a point was being made that how do we glorify others when we have the desire to be glorified? There's that need. There's a difference between desire. There's a need that we want to be glorified. How can we glorify? And they gave the realization that if we really want to be glorified and if we are practicing Krishna consciousness, then we can see the others' need to be glorified and we do that. And we sincerely pray to Krishna too. So sincerely praying to Krishna, we see others' need for the same thing. And we try to serve them, praying to Krishna. So by serving them, when they get glorified, then automatically we feel satisfied, and slowly, because we're praying to Krishna, Krishna removes any weeds, unwanted things that are within the heart. Thank you very much for sharing that yesterday. So, Trinadapishun, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. And that is what today's verse is describing. That everyone comes and they are just simply glorifying Krishna because Krishna has appeared. And Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna has appeared in the womb of ISKCON. Krishna is here in the womb of ISKCON. So it's a momentous occasion. It's a festival for all of us. So let us all, for our own purification, those who are demigods will be attracted. And we don't have to be fearful of unfavorable people. They'll run away. But then, because the mood is of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahavadanyaya, we make arrangements for them also. And we always try to know that we are the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That is the honesty that we keep. And then the chanting of the holy names seems tangible. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So, any short comment or question? Okay.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your class. You made so many amazing, interesting points. And I was wondering, when you started the class, you talked about the sensitivity of the ladies in this festival. And as you went on, you made many different points. And one point that really caught my attention was the point you made of Prahladananda Swami, where he spoke about being honest means knowing that we're not the body. So I'm or having faith that we're not the body. So I was wondering, what happens, how do we encourage someone, or how would you encourage someone that may not have that realization that we're not the body? However, they may be aspiring with faith in the process. How do you encourage such a person? Because you may say, well, you're dishonest because you don't accept that you're not the body. And that's very blunt. So how do you encourage someone with that to get that realization?
Thank you for that quick question. And if you could give us your email ID and your contact address, then I'll ask them to get in touch with you, because you're so sensitive and you instill such faith in those who come and associate with you, with yourself. Srila Prabhupada, I think in one of the purports of Srimad Bhagavat, of Bhagavad Gita, he says, how does the pious credits of the innocent living entities, how are they created? He says, simply because the Mahatmas are roaming around on the planet. So by they are of their own desire, because they are going and giving their association. As I said, the dishonesty point that I made was more in terms of us being practitioners of Krishna consciousness and applying that. But when we are trying to give Krishna consciousness, or when we're trying to explain to someone how they can progress in their own lives spiritually, then being sensitive, we introduce them to whatever faith we have in a positive way, with positive realizations, or we bring them in contact with those who have much greater faith than us, or we introduce them to an environment, a society, a community where such faith is predominant, and such faith will beget faith. that we are not this body, we are spirit, soul, and we can be happy being servants of Krishna, basically. We can be happy and joyous and have a festival serving Krishna. Because then Krishna becomes our child, Krishna becomes our friend, Krishna becomes our lover. It's not in the material terms of master and servant. Here there is reciprocation where each one is serving the other's needs. Krishna's need is to have unending pleasure, and the living entity's need is to serve Krishna in that way, as ashraya and vishaya. So both their needs are being fulfilled. Is that all right, using that term like that? Yes? So faith begets faith. And so as when we are going out, very sensitively, we bring them in an association, our association of faith, a positive culture, rather than pointing out the defects. As far as we are concerned as practitioners, we try to focus on both. And more, if we can, on trying to improve on the, if there are some lackings that we have, because that is our addiction. So we try to improve on that aspect and try to become more addicted to hearing and chanting Krishna's glorious names. And that addiction requires someone to pull us out, therefore association of a mature association of devotees is necessary. We always try to be in that association, either with an attraction or out of force, with intelligence, we go there. Is that all right? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.